Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Thank you, Jesus. And just pray that this morning you will have a deep encounter with the Lord before you leave here. Somebody speak to the Lord for a couple of minutes. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. Talk to the Lord. Speak to him this morning. Speak to him. Everywhere you are, speak to the Lord. Pray for an experience that will help you to be closer to the Lord, to be deeper in him. Speak to the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. Every hand lifted to the Lord. Mi frima come mi sheni awaye esese mi tawasi oda konsano. Every hand lifted to the Lord. Minta wasio,
minta wasio, minta wasio, minta wasio,
minta wasio, mi yiwa yo, minta wasia,
minta wasio.
Jesus, we give you thanks, Lord. We bless your name. We ask that you speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap, everyone. And you may be seated. God bless you all. All right. Turn your Bibles with me to Proverbs 19 and verse 20 from the King James Version. Proverbs 19, 20. And I'll be very grateful if we can read together. Proverbs 19, 20. Ready? Go. All right. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. I want to read the same verse from the New Living Translation where it says, get all the advice and instruction you can, so you will be wise the rest of your life. How many of you like the sound of that? All right. Now, in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, there is a lot of advice, a lot of counsel, and a lot of instruction that you can receive. Always remind yourself when you are in a meeting where the Word of God is being ministered, that in what is being said and in what is being taught or preached, there's a lot of wisdom, a lot of advice, a lot of counsel, a lot of instruction to receive. Now, if we will only receive this wisdom, advice, instruction, we will become wiser and we will do better in life. And may I remind you that the Word of God is like an operating manual for this life. If you buy any new piece of, let's say, electronic equipment, if it isn't stolen, it may come with an operating manual. And the purpose of it is to guide and direct you in handling that piece of equipment so that you can get the very best use out of it. How many can relate with that? Now, the Word of God is like an operating manual for this life. It contains virtually everything that you need to succeed and to do well. And this is what God told Joshua when he visited him. And that was actually what he said to him, was our memory verse for last week in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The essence of what God was explaining to him was that you want to succeed, you want to prosper, you want to do well, then the key to this is my word. It contains everything that you need. And the Word of God has answers to all the problems of this life. If there is anything that the Bible hasn't spoken about, then it is because God has chosen to hide it. Because the Bible says that the secret things belong to the Lord. Deuteronomy 29:29. But apart from that, everything that you need for every area of your life can be found in the Word of God. So whenever we come to church like this and the Word of God is being ministered, you must be open to receive instruction. Somebody say instruction. To receive advice. Somebody say advice. To receive counsel. Somebody say counsel. And I pray that this morning, what I'm going to share with you, you will glean a lot of wisdom from it that will help you to do well in life and to become everything that God intends you to become. Can I have a loud amen from somebody? All right. And this morning, I'm going to share with us a message that will help us to achieve great results in life and ministry. And I am certain that I will not complete it today, but we'll just see how it goes. And so I'm sharing with you on the subject, consistency in the Christian experience. Consistency in the Christian experience. Everybody say with me, consistency in the Christian experience. Say it again, consistency in the Christian experience. And in case you're struggling with the spelling of the word consistency, the spelling is con, C-O-N, sis, as in sister, S-I-S, 10, as in the number 10, T-E-N, and then C-Y, consistency. And the word is not constituency. There are two different words. It's not consuency, all right? This is consistency, and I will do well to define it as we move along. So consistency in the Christian experience. And by the Christian experience, I'm talking about the life that you engage in after you give your life to Christ. That's the Christian experience. There are a lot of things that I've learned over the 30 plus years that I have been doing this pastoral work for. And one of the important lessons that I have found is that often when you find out that a Christian is not doing well, is not progressing, and is not fruitful in the Christian experience, it is because he or she is not consistent in what they are doing. I'll say that again. And let me couch it in another way. Many of us Christians are not doing as well as we could. And one of the main reasons for this is because we are not consistent in what we are doing. Which should, of course, lead us to the place where we want to understand what is consistency. What is consistency? So, what I'm sharing with you is general. Along the line, I will now move into the main subject of the day. But let's try and understand what consistency is, shall we? Consistency, I'm going to give you three definitions of consistency. And these definitions are from the dictionary. All right, so they are not my words. That's what the dictionary gave me and what, you know, some other resource gave me. Consistency is the steadfast adherence to the same principles, course, form, etc. The steadfast adherence to the same principles, course, form. A form is like a practice or a habit. So it's a steadfast adherence to the same principles, course, form, etc. So that's what consistency is. Let me try and break it down for you. So it's talking about principles. So when you have a principle that you run by, you have a certain course that you are on. There is a practice that you are engaged in. When you are consistent in that principle or course or form, what it means is that you stick to what you've decided and you don't shift from it. So it's the steadfast adherence. You stick with the thing and you stay with it no matter what comes your way. When you do that, we say that you are consistent. So let's say, for example, that you have a principle that I don't eat after 5 p.m. I don't eat after 5 p.m. So that's your principle. You've been telling us for some time that after 5 p.m. you don't eat. But you see, if you go somewhere and there is a table spread, nice fried rice with grilled chicken and cold slaw, nice things around it. If you say that, oh, usually I don't eat after 5 p.m., but I'll make an exception today, what it means is that you are not consistent. The consistent one is the one who say that my principle is that after 5 p.m. I don't eat. So no matter how delicious or attractive any food I meet is, once it is after 5 p.m., I'm not going to eat it. Do you understand consistency now? Or let's say a course. You have a course that you are on, which is that by the grace of God, you want to live in your own house by the time you turn 40 years. That would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. So that's a course you are on, that I want to live in my own house by the time I turn 40. May that be the story of your life. Your amen is like an unbeliever. And I know why your amen is not loud, because from the natural, it sounds impossible. It is possible. Is that not so? Yeah. By the grace of God, I moved into my own house when I was 35 years old. By the grace of God. Yeah. And it will happen to you as well. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So believe it. Amen. But it's not just about believing it alone, But you must go on a course. You must go on a path to make this belief a reality. Now, when I set out to build our first home, I had to go on a certain course. I had to go on a certain path. And I had to discipline myself. I couldn't continue spending by heart, as we say in Ghana, the way I used to. I mean, I've told you my story before, and in case you don't know it, I'm saying it again. I struggled a lot when I was growing up because things were quite not so easy, all right? So I made a promise to myself that when I start earning money, I will enjoy. Hello, Pastor Philip. Is there a bad idea? Is there anybody who is angry with me because I went on such a path? Yeah, so I told myself that I'll enjoy and I'll eat my mouth. That's what I told myself. And I made sure that I put it into practice. So, I used to buy things that made me happy. I had a friend, it was called Theo. I used to send him ever so often to Frankie's at Osu. In those times, it was the main food joint in town. You get nice pizza, you get nice ice cream there. Not Fan Ice. Fan Ice is nice, but that's not the story. So I'll send him. Say, Theo, yeah, hey pizza in Hami. You buy large. Not small, medium, large. Then the ice cream. I said, get me 8 scoops. Why? Is it a problem? Remember that I was giving myself a treat. So umreda, you never understand where I was coming from. Different flavors: vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, coconut, mint, lime, pistachio, and then something else. 8. Then you bring. I don't remember whether I used to give him some. I don't remember. But I'll just eat and bless the Lord and rejoice in the Lord because he's good and his mercies endure forever. And my wife used to enjoy some. I used to spread her. I used to spread her so much that she started calling me Osikeni Bele Bele. Osikeni Bele Bele. Then along the line, I had this vision and I went on a course to build a house. My pastor then encouraged us to build. He said we were young and we may think that we cannot, but we can. So he encouraged us to build. And I felt that it was a good piece of advice. When I set off on that path, I realized that a lot of things have to change. Because when you are building, everything you calculate it in terms of cement. What you say? Cement, sand, iron rods, and all those things. I realized that pizza and ice cream all the time are not compatible. Yeah. Because like you go and buy the ice cream, you buy the pizza, when you put it together, you are buying 2 bags of cement. So I had to put aside all these blowing time things. It got so some way that at the point, she, my wife, started laughing at me and started calling me Boga Emre. You know? Because now, but of course I didn't stop like birthday and all those things. That's one day, normal. But then you are just there. No, you feel for pizza. You've gone to buy. You feel for this. All those things had to change. Apart from the grace of God, one of the things that helped me to build that house was consistency. I had to stick with it. And when you are on a certain course, you're on a certain agenda, you're on a certain project, and you are steadfastly committed to it, there is a steadfast adherence to that cause, then we say you are being consistent. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then let's say form, practice, habit. Maybe you tell yourself that every day before I bath, I will exercise for 10 minutes. The consistent one is the one who does it all the time and never stops. You strictly adhere, you steadfastly adhere to that thing. So whenever you steadfastly adhere to a principle, to a course, to a form, to a practice, to a habit, etc., that is when we say you are exhibiting consistency. Everybody say consistency. All right, so that is the first definition. The second definition I got for the word consistency is that it is the quality of being steady, reliable, and uniform over time. The quality of being steady, reliable, and uniform over time. So imagine a scenario like this. You're starting a business, and most businesses start small, and you just have a few clients. Now these few clients that you have, you treat them well, you treat them with a lot of respect, you honor them, and you treat them with dignity. That is when the business is small. Have you noticed that a lot of people change when they prosper? How many have noticed that? It's very easy to say that a poor man is humble, because circumstances are forcing him to be humble. I mean, there are exceptions. I've met some poor and very proud people in this life before. But usually, you say that poor people are humble and everything. The real test of their humility is when a little money comes into their hands. Because that happens to many people. When they get money, they change. All right? So, you started your business. You have just a few clients. You treat them well. But by the grace of God, the business is flourishing. A lot of money is coming in. But you don't shift from the way you relate with your clients and your customers. You still treat them with respect. You treat them with dignity. You honor them. You don't do inshishenim. Because many people relate with others based on how they look to them. If you look like you have something, you have money and all of that, people will respect you and be nice to you. If you look ordinary, they treat you just anyway. So you don't do that. Your business is flourished. It's advanced. It's progressed. But that same attitude that you exhibited when it was small, you are still showing that attitude now that the business has grown. When you do that, you are exhibiting consistency, because you are being steady, reliable, and uniform over time. Time hasn't changed you. Circumstances haven't changed you. You have stayed the same way. That is consistency. Hallelujah. And then the third definition of the word consistency is maintaining the same behavior, performance. But you're steady now. Anyway, it's all right. Maintaining the same behavior, performance, or outcome in similar situations. Maintaining the same behavior, performance, or outcome in similar situations, often leading to predictability and trust. I'll explain that. Don't you worry. Maintaining the same behavior, performance, or outcome in similar situations, often leading to predictability and trust. Let me explain it with this example. So let's say you work in the ministry of, which ministry do you want to work in? Finance. I knew you say finance. Okay? So you work in the ministry of finance or sanitation. Finance or sanitation? Finance, okay. So you work in the ministry of finance, and you know, usually in the ministries, people are moved from departments. Sometimes you move from this department to this other department, from this department to other department. So let's say that you work there, and every department that you work in, we see the same behavior or performance from you. You always come to work before 8 o'clock. So although you have moved departments over a number of years, your attitude to the work, your performance, your commitment to it hasn't changed. So much so that when you move again, it can be predicted that what you were doing when you were in the other department, you will do same in the new department. That means that you are consistent. Hallelujah. So things don't change with you. If it's I got to get to work before 8 o'clock, you always make sure that you do so. Anybody who is like that, we can say that the person is consistent. So we can see that consistency is in different things. So you can be consistent in your performance. You can be consistent in your habit. You can be consistent in your actions. You can be consistent in your behavior. You can be consistent in processes, and so on and so forth. Amen. Now write this down. Without consistency, you can never be successful in anything you set out to do. Write it down. Without consistency, you can never be successful in anything you set out to do. Without consistency, if you start a business, it will collapse. Without consistency, if you set out to reduce your weight or to lose weight, without consistency, you will stop. Without consistency, your marriage will not work. Without consistency, your relationships will not work. Without consistency, you will not do well in school. Anything that you see that is working, that is successful, one of the reasons for it is consistency. Yeah. Never get to the place where you see that something is working and your explanation for it is that the person is lucky or the person's head is good. And some of you, you've said so many bad things about your head. And no wonder things are not working. From today, change your testimony. What? Put your hand on your head and say, from today, my head is good. And tell the person sitting by you, I carry a good head. Hallelujah. It's unfortunate. Sometimes when you're a child, all sorts of things are said to you. And you can grow up with a complex that I'm dumb, I'm a dimwit, I'm not intelligent. And then parents, when you are angry with the children, please be very careful what you say to them. Don't call your child Jimifo. Don't call your child Tono. Tono Kroyevaza. Sampeni. B. A B. B. But how would you say that your child is a Tono? You got to be very careful what you say over your children, because it will have an effect on them. And some of you developed a complex because of a lot of things that were said to you. Do not repeat it on your children. No matter how angry you are with them, there are some things that should never come out of your mouth. Remember what I told you from the very beginning, that when you come to church and we are preaching the word of God, you hear advice, you hear instruction, you hear counsel. This is one of them. And I think that God is speaking to some of us here especially, because you like insulting too much. Every small thing, you know, then you are insulting. So as your child is moving about, you know, it's very some way. I mean, no confidence. Look. This morning, as I was coming, I was listening to a six-year-old boy being interviewed. Come and see the confidence. Come and see the clarity of expression. And this boy, why was he being interviewed on BBC? He's involved in collecting pieces of rubber products out from the streets and everything. 6 years old. 6 years. 6 years. And They were interviewing, asking him how he got into it and all of that. They were asking him, what does he want to be in future? He said he wants to be, I think, a marine engineer. They asked him why. He said he likes the life forms in the seas and everything. Look, the way the boy could talk. But you know, I bet you know. There are exceptions, but typical our environment, the little children, even when they are expressing themselves, why everything insult, and there are some tribes who are noted for that. Even greeting is an insult. No, it's not a good thing. Tell your neighbor, I'm changing from today. Alright. So without consistency, you can never be successful in anything you set out to do. Lift up your hand and say with me, without consistency, I cannot succeed. I cannot do well in any venture. By the grace of God, this year and beyond, I will be consistent. So help me God. Clap your hands and bless the Lord. You are receiving the ability to be consistent. Amen. So why is consistency important then? Number one, it leads to progress and improvement. Consistency leads to progress and improvement. All this is introductional, because you must understand what consistency is before we move into the main thrust of the message. Consistency is important because it leads to progress and improvement. Without consistency, you will not progress. Without consistency, you will not improve. Anything that you are trying to do, if you are going to see progress and improvement in it, you must be consistent. Number two, consistency is important because it helps you to become a master and an expert in certain areas, the areas you are involved in. You become a master and an expert in an area that you are involved in. Consistency will make you a master and an expert in the area you are involved in. If you have an apprentice, she's come to you, I want to learn how to do hair. Those who do hair, they are called the hairdresser or stylist. Sandra. All right. So hairstylist, okay, and you have an apprentice. Now this person is supposed to come to work every day and get to the office, the shop by 8 o'clock. Monday she comes, Tuesday she comes, Wednesday she doesn't come, and she comes up with all kinds of silly excuses. Some of the times she gets in after 9 o'clock. There are times when she comes, when it's 2 o'clock, says that my mother said I should go and buy something for her, so I have to go. Now, if that becomes a pattern with time, you can see that such a person will never be an expert and become a master at styling hair. And the reason is why. She's not consistent. That's why. She's not consistent. So consistency will help you to become a master and an expert in any area that you are interested in. So what is it that you are trying to achieve? What is it that you are trying to accomplish? It may be spiritual, it may be secular, but you must be consistent in that thing. You must stick with it. You must adhere steadfastly to that thing. Otherwise, you will never become an expert. You never become a master at it. I look at any field, those who have excelled in the field. You will identify consistency in the way they went about things. Footballers, the best footballers are consistent. Athletes, the best athletes are consistent. Fashion designers, the best fashion designers are consistent. Without consistency, you will never become an expert at something you are doing. So if you've been at something for a long time and you are not seeing progress, you are not becoming an expert, one of the questions you should ask yourself, have I been consistent? And you may discover that it is the absence of the consistency that is why things haven't worked well for you. Am I helping somebody at all today? Number three, consistency is important because it breeds trust. It breeds trust. It generates trust. If you have somebody who is consistent, if you have a friend who is consistent, if you have a worker who is consistent, it will make you trust the person more. Is that not so? Yeah. It will make you trust the person more. So consistency breeds trust. Number four, it leads to the discipline and resilience needed when your motivation goes down. Consistency would help you to acquire the discipline and resilience needed when your motivation goes down. It leads to the discipline and resilience needed when your motivation goes down. What do I mean? So, let's say you want to learn how to swim. All right? You feel motivated. I don't have such a motivation. That's why I'm still where I am. All right? I told you before, I had some bad experience growing up and it affected me. So swimming and those things. Even when I'm under the shower, it's like I'm drowning. You're laughing at me. Yeah. So, maybe after church, I'll come to you so that you lay hands on me and deliver me. But till then, please, let me stay my somewhere. If I go to the beach, the farthest I'll go is about 2 meters. You see, only buffer me now. No. But that's my problem. And it's another story for another day. But you say you want to learn how to swim. You are motivated. So you go to one of these hotels that have swimming pools. There's a swimming instructor there. You go and register. And they tell you, you got to come 3 days a week. From 1 in the afternoon to 3. And he's assured you that if you do this for 2 months, you'll be swimming like a fish. By the way, how many of you know how to swim? Oh, let me see. Ah. You see, some of you lifted your hand. Mara moshe winyima. I can see that you are lying. You don't know how to swim. Swimmers have a certain look. You don't have that look. So, you are motivated. So, you've gone to register, paid the money and everything. Day one, they took you through some things. But the reason why I wanted to learn how to swim, because you've been told that it's the best form of exercise, because you exercise every part of your body. But when you finish day one, you're here, your arms and everything, but you were motivated, so you stuck with it. So the first week you went, the second week you went, the third week you check it. Today is Monday, eh? I'm supposed to go for. I'll go on Wednesday. Then on Wednesday, come say, hey! I did. It's today. No, next week. Next week. My friend, you will never learn how to swim. What has happened to you is that the motivation has gone down. But there is something that can help you to press on even when the motivation is not there. That is consistency. I don't feel motivated, but I'm still going. And then you become disciplined and resilient. That is what will make you achieve your aim at the end of the day. Hallelujah. So that's what consistency does. It helps to generate the discipline and the resilience needed when your motivation goes down. And then finally, consistency helps in forming good habits. Consistency helps in forming good habits. It actually applies for bad habits also. You can be consistent in bad habits. But of course, we are referring to something good. So it helps in forming good habits. All right. So this is just a general presentation I wanted to do on consistency. I felt that there are things that I've said that will help somebody. Has somebody been helped at all? Have you learned a thing or two? All right, that's fine. So now, as children of God, it is important that we develop consistency in the different areas of the Christian life or experience. Amen. As the children of God, it is important that we develop consistency in the different areas of the Christian life or experience. And I'm going to start us off on the key areas we must be consistent in our Christian experience. There are about 10 of them. I don't think that it's an exhaustive list, but these are things that we can focus on for now. So the key areas we must be consistent in our Christian experience. Number one. So I can do a couple of them and then we close, we continue next week. Number one, prayer and waiting on God. We must be consistent in it. Prayer and waiting on God is an important area where we must be consistent. Waiting on God is seeking the face of God to seek his guidance and direction. That is what I mean by waiting on God. So the first area, prayer and waiting on God. Can we look at Luke chapter 18, reading from verse 1 to 5? New Living Translation, Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 5. Now, the heading in my New Living Translation Bible is the parable of the persistent widow. But you can also say the parable of the consistent widow. So one day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. What was the reason for telling them that parable? What was the reason? I can't hear you. What was the reason? It's there. Why did Jesus tell the disciples the story? To show that, say it with me, they should always pray and never give up. That was the reason for telling them that parable. And when he says to them that they should always pray, he's saying the same thing to us, that we should always pray and never give up. What he's in effect saying is that we must be consistent. We must be consistent in what? Prayer. Hallelujah. So then he tells the story. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. Tell your neighbor, fear God and care about people, especially me. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. Maybe land litigation or something. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally said to himself, I don't fear God and I don't care about people. But this woman is driving me crazy. How was she driving him crazy? By her consistent coming to see him over the same issue. He said, I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request, which is consistent request. Why was this parable given? To point out to us that we must be consistent in prayer and in waiting on God. There's this example in the Bible about a great prophet called Daniel. You read about this story in Daniel chapter 6. Now, it so happened that Daniel served under different kings. And one of the kings he served under was King Darius, who was the king over the Persia and Mede kingdom. This king had 120 ministers. And out of the 120, three of them were supervisors. And Daniel was number one. And he had become like the next in command after the king. But are you aware that when you flourish, you make a lot of enemies? Have you noticed that? Yeah. If you don't want to make enemies, don't prosper. Stay at the same place. But when you decide to prosper, to flourish, and to do well, you will make a lot of enemies. I declare concerning you that no enemy can abort your promotion and elevation in this life. At your workplace, anybody who has set his or her eyes upon you, intending to bring you down, I scramble that plan and I declare that it will not happen in the name of Jesus. Wherever there have been secret meetings and you've been discussed and all kinds of things have been planned against you, may there be confusion in that meeting in the mighty name of Jesus. Nobody will be able to change what God has said concerning you. Get ready for your lifting up. Get ready for your promotion. Get ready for your elevation. Omusi onipa to me and say nya onyankopon ishirano. That will be your testimony also. Shall I receive it? And clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord. So that's a prophetic message to somebody. Now the people were not happy about Daniel's promotion, so they started scheming, plotting, planning how they could bring him down, and they couldn't find anything. Because they couldn't find anything until they noticed something about him, that this paddy, the only area where we can find fault with him is in his devotion to God. Now, I pray that that will be the story concerning us, every one of us. Yeah, that's the only area that we can fault him. We've realized that he prays 3 times a day with his windows open, looking towards Jerusalem. That's where we can get him. So what do? They come up with a plan. They go and see the king, King Darius, and say, "King, you are powerful. I think that we should draw up a new law. By the way, if you are in authority, don't sign things by heart too. And always be wary of the people around you. Don't be deceived by the praise singing. Don't be. Especially from the people around. They always seem to say certain things. The things that you like. The things that make you happy. And you think that they are your best people. Some of the best people that you have. They will never say certain things to you. But you see, sometimes you get... So you when people are praising you all the time, it's nice, isn't it? Yeah, they make you feel you are great and everything. So when you are preaching, we your bo, we your d, we your dad, you're that, and you are feeling great. Hey, you can get to a place, anybody who doesn't do that, you look with suspicion at the person, that this guy is suspect. Yeah, be very careful of the people around you and the things that they say to you. If you listen to them, you will drive away the best people that you have. I'm telling you something. And don't just sign things by heart. So they went to see the president and said, "Let's draw up this law. Let's come up with a law that..." Where's my clock? My clock. They said, "Let's have a law. The law is that..." A law that for 30 days nobody should pray to any god, anybody except you. Nobody should pray to anybody apart. And if anybody disobeys this instruction, he should be thrown into the den of lions. Now, if you're a king, they come and say something like that to you. Have to think well. Have to be very, very careful. Tell the person sitting by you, when you become assemblyman, you don't like assemblyman. Okay, when you become minister, do you like minister? Or when you become parliamentarian, yeah, always be careful about the people around you and the things that you agree to. So, sign a law. And the king said, "Oh, it will make me more powerful. So, let's go ahead." Now, But the reason for the law was to bring somebody down. And that's something that I see that a lot of our politicians do. When they want to hit at their enemies, they'll come up with laws that will affect them. It's a very some way thing. And no nation can progress with that sort of attitude. And there's too much of that in our body politics. So the country is not advancing the way we could have. We have to get to a place where every government that comes will be compelled to follow Ghana's development plan. Because we have a development plan, but it's on the shelves gathering dust. Every political party comes with their own agenda. And when another party takes over, they don't want to follow through with what the previous administration did, even though there are some good things in there. Because they don't want to finish it for them to, the other political party, to take credit for it, that we started it. So sometimes the road is not finished, but we'll commission it. It's fantastic. Anyway, Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, so he knew what they were doing. He knew. He went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He didn't change anything. He could have closed the window so that nobody would see him, but he was consistent with his things. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Consistent. Praying consistently. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Never stop praying. Which means that you must be consistent in the end. Prayer. Hosea chapter 12 verse 6. New King James Version. It says, so you, by the help of your God, return. Observe mercy and justice. Now look at this. And wait on your God how often? Which means you must be consistent in waiting on God. And ladies and gentlemen, as Christians and as believers, as the children of God, one of the clear areas that we must strive for consistency in is in prayer and waiting on God. Which is why as a church, we have different prayer arrangements in place. You must pray individually, but you must also participate in the joint effort as a church. You must be involved, and you must take advantage of all the prayer arrangements in place. Since the inception of this church, every Wednesday, virtually every Wednesday, unless there is a reason, but virtually every Wednesday, we pray and fast. Now, most of you are not consistent in it. I can always count. And I can scan your faces here. I know those who are consistent and those who are not consistent. It's a problem. And don't tell me this thing of, oh, I've been praying on my own kind of thing. It's good to pray on your own. I encourage that. I'm the one who told you that you must know God for yourself. I encourage that. But that does not mean that you should exclude or exempt yourself from the corporate effort. Because there's another kind of power that is released when people come together to pray. So we must be consistent in these prayer times. On Saturday, we pray from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. You must be a part of it. And because it's not practical to gather in person to pray, we do a virtual kind of prayer. And now we discovered that we can start a voice chat that you can join in. And then together we can hear each other pray. Some of you, when you join, you've muted your microphone. So are you in the meeting or you're not in the meeting? Now, why have all these things been put in place? To help us to achieve consistency in our prayer and in our waiting on God. And when we pray and wait on God, we are sending a clear message to Him. Say, "You need Daniel." Is it correct? You need Daniel. That's correct. Yeah. It's like you are the one we are depending on. Ah, but you've been depending on yourself for some time. What has come out of it? What has come out of it? This thing of you are depending on yourself, trying things for yourself. Maybe so. What has come out of it? Where did it take you? How far has it carried you? Ting! That's why we got to lift up our eyes to the Lord. You do our tire, the thing no they work. Still, are you no one change? Oh, AB, tell them for me. So we say, let's pray. Then people will be dragging their feet and giving all kinds of funny attitude.
And I'm saying again to you, look, if you are a part of this family, you had better be a proper part of it all, and participate actively in anything that is put together. And those of you listening to me, whichever ministry or church you are a part of, make sure that you are a serious member and participant of the activities that are drawn up under that church or under that ministry. You must be serious there. And those of you who have signed on to other things, you are joining this prayer here, this prayer here, this prayer here. I won't quarrel with you about that. But I have a problem. Where God has planted you, where you are fed all the time, why is it that when you are having a problem, you don't call what God does not do? I'm asking you, why don't you call him? Do you understand the question that I'm asking you? Why don't you call what God does not do, cannot exist? Yeah. Okay, what God cannot do does not exist. It's a powerful name. I saw that somebody has created a cornmeal factory, and that's the name he's put on it. He has spoiled the spiritual thing. What God cannot do does not exist. Cornmeal. Hey, Ghana, no. Everything is spiritualized. I'm saying something to you. Me, I stood in this church and told you that I really don't have any problem if you benefit from other ministries, prayer platforms, and all of that. Yes, here Nam Dodwo and Zenkwai. There are only two things that I ask of you. Number one, where you are going, check it well. Check it well. Don't just follow things because it's a trend. Then number two, whatever it is you do, make sure that where you are planted, where you are pastored, where you are shepherded, where when you have a problem, you turn to the leaders, that place, your commitment must be sterling. And when your church is organizing prayer times, whatever it is, you must be involved in it. You must be involved. I mean, this thing of just being around, today you are part, tomorrow you are not, it's not taking you anywhere. And the consistency that is needed to bring about the desired change and progress in your life, it is not happening. That desire, change, and progress is not happening. And one of the reasons I submit to you is you are not consistent in what you are doing. And particularly in this area of prayer. And that's why I want to say to all of you, look, I want you to decide moving forward that every time there is a meeting, a church meeting, you will come from the very beginning and be a part of the prayer and be a part of the worship and be a prayer of everything. Why don't you join the prayer? Why don't you come early enough to join in the prayer? Because the consistency I'm talking about, it cuts across all of that. Sometimes I'm surprised at the time that people get to church. I'm surprised I see the time. The time that you have to leave home. Well, what time do you leave home to get to work? At the end? 4 a.m. What money have you done? 4 a.m. You are leaving your house to go to work. And you do that how many times a week? Virtually the whole week. Look at the time you have to wake your children up so that they can get to school early. Look, I feel sorry for the children. Oh. Their only problem is that they were born in today's generation. Generation Z, the Gen Zs. Alpha. We've passed the Z. Now we've ended up in Alpha. S-M-1-Kasa. But you see, my point is this. That 5 days a week, you leave home at 4 a.m., at 5 a.m. to get to work, to get to school, or to get to wherever you are going. Why is it that Sunday morning, a service that starts at 10 o'clock, which starts with prayer, something that you must be consistent in, you are not able to join in? Look, do you understand what I'm pointing out to you? And remember, I told you from the beginning that in the preaching and the teaching of the word, there's a lot of advice and counsel and solving of problems. I don't get it. So prayer must become something that is important to us. And I'm saying again, individual prayer, important. And the corporate one, essential. Especially the one that is organized under the ministry that God has put you in. You can join 1,001 other prayer platforms. God bless you. I don't have a problem with you. But my problem is when you are not serious about what is organized here. I'm not saying that I had the power in him. Yeah, peace in Kamididi Obiatem. But the Lord is my portion in the land of the living. Rise to your feet, put your hands together for Jesus. Will continue next week. Consistency in the Christian experience. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We have just a few minutes to end today's service, but how can I end without doing this very important thing of giving an opportunity to somebody to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? You may be physically present here, or you may be watching me online. For some reason, you tuned in, but I have your attention now, and I want to ask you a very important question. Have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered your heart to Him? Have you asked Him to take over your life and to make you brand new and to make your life more purposeful? If you haven't, the good news is that you can take that step today. And as I speak to you right now, Jesus is waiting for you to hand your heart over to Him, to give Him your life, so that He can make you brand new and make your life more purposeful. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, and don't open your eyes, otherwise I'll accuse you of something. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You want to give your heart to Jesus. Maybe you are watching me. Wherever you are, I can't see you, obviously, but Jesus is everywhere. He is omnipresent, and He can see you right where you are, and He's able to reach out to you right where you are, in your room, in your living room, in your hall, in the kitchen. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Wherever you are, lift up your right hand, and I'm going to pray with you, and God is going to come into your heart. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Right there in your room, you can lift up your hand. God bless you. Now, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and as a way of encouraging them, let all join in this prayer and say with me, Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with your precious blood. From today, I am yours. You are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. I am saved today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.